from two places in 1 Samuel. First one is chapter 27. Chapter 30. Now, I do not remember, I think it was before we ever started meeting here, and still don't even know if I spoke to you on these two verses, but I did somewhere. That being over 30 some years ago, I don't have a clue as to how I handled it then. So I didn't have past notes to go back and draw from, but tried to find what the Lord is saying to me, and then hopefully to you this day. But I want to speak to you on the depths and heights of true faith. And we'll find it in David's life. Would you bow with me as we seek our blessed Lord in His face? Our Father, as we come to consider what the ups and downs in a Christian's life are, the difficulties, the valleys, and then the mountaintops that we occasionally begin to ascend. What is faith? Whose faith is it? How is it obtained? Father, it does not matter about the amount of preparation, the time spent, but it's all dependent now upon Thee by Thy Spirit, giving us, Lord, I trust and I ask You for this, a quiet heart, still heart, a still mind, that we might know. That we might know Thee. And I ask You to remove from us any thoughts of tomorrow, coming events, even this afternoon. And in Your great mercy, would You bring us into an awareness of we are before the living God. We're always there, but there are some times that we've set aside in obedience to Thy commands. Forsake not the assembling. And so we gather. And now we open Thy Word. Ask You for the Spirit of God. We ask You for wisdom. Ask You, Lord, that You might have a word for the hearts here, Your children, those that are not yet Thy children, or that You might have a word for them. And in all that is said and done, be Thou exalted, Christ lifted high, magnified. For it is in His name we pray. Amen. Last few times, I've dealt with you on, in particular, on the person of God as revealed in Christ. And now, this is more on your life and your walk, having to do with faith. 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse number 1. Now, as sometimes I do, I'm going to ask you in a few minutes to turn over to the New Testament, but we're coming back to chapter 26. So don't lose your stick of marker here when we leave it. 1 Samuel 27:1, and David said in his heart, didn't talk to anybody verbally, just to himself, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in the coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." As I said, the depths of true faith. Faith is, it's like the tide in the ocean. It all dependent upon gravitational attraction of the sun and the moon, the position of the earth, and the rivers all empty back into the, or those near the coast empty back into the ocean as the tide begins to go down. I've been out a few times with some of the fellows in Waycross, and we'd go down those rivers joining the Atlantic over there, and they always kept they knew when low tide and when high tide would be in leaving and rushing to get back, because if they didn't get back in high tide, they couldn't get back to the dock. And all you would see when the tide was in, rivers full, just green, ferns and all growing on the side, but when the water flowed out into the ocean, then there was that gray mud marsh. Not a pretty sight. But then it flowed back from the ocean and filled up the rivers. And it was a lovely, lovely sight there. And when faith is not active, all you know about yourself and all you understand is the old nature that you dwell with. Now, I have no favorable opinion of anybody's profession of faith or their profession of Christianity that are always walking on an even plane. They never doubt, never down. They're never up, no ups, no downs. That's not the faith of God's children. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7, when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. That's the way it was with me, he said. That's the way it is with every child of God. Now, what most call faith in our day and throughout my lifetime has been something due to preachers and evangelistic workers that call faith no more than a mental assent to facts. And they will talk to young folks, you believe this, and okay, then you need to call upon Jesus and ask Him to do this. Well, yeah, okay. And when they begin that rhetoric with little ones or even aged ones, they believe that all men have faith. That's a wrong footing to get started. All men do not have faith. None of us were born with true saving faith. But the way they handle it, there is no need of a work of the Spirit, and which brings about a sinner's realization to his true condition. You gotta get folk lost before they'll ever get saved. And we don't have that ability to get men lost or cause them to see just what an awful condition they're in. By grace, Ephesians 2:8, are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. Faith is the gift of God. Now, if God gives it to you, that is because you did not possess it to begin with. And if God implants faith, true faith, it is the faith of Jesus Christ. Now that's why I said that all men have not faith. No natural man, no child born has faith. It's a gift of God. It is the gift of the faith of Christ. Now in 1 Samuel 27, David is at one of the lowest points in life. And faith, the faith of Christ, is not active in his life. Now, this being the faith of Christ, turn with me to Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2. And verse number 16. And there were four or five that I had thought about throughout the week, but I ruled them all out except this one more in this chapter and then one in Ephesians. I could have written them down, paraphrased them the best I could, but I want you to read them with me. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You see why it is the gift of God to you? It is the faith of His Son. You see why that no man is born with that? God must give a new heart, create a new creation within, and implant in that heart the faith of His Son. Now, I know I've mentioned this, but if you want to see faith at its highest, certainly we will see that in a minute, but look at the cross. Dying a guilty, condemned sinner, knowing hell awaited, and yet there on the cross, our Lord Jesus exercised his faith. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Now there on the cross, and faith, the faith of Christ in the greatest exercise ever, is that which is implanted in you. That's why I say you don't walk on an even plane. You may be up today and tomorrow you may hit bottom as far as your spiritual walk with the Lord. You may have a realization of God being very near to you today, and for the next 3 or 4 days, God may seem to you to be a million miles away. You're just not going to walk every day on this even pathway. It's got its ups and its downs. Now Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now you're talking about contradictions. I'm crucified, but I live. The life which I now live, old flesh still alive, but I'm still crucified, I live by the faith, not mine, the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, if it is Christ's faith, it is only maintained by his Spirit. When it's up, it is the work of the Spirit making active his faith within. Once an individual, haven't seen this in a while, dear folks, but we can continue praying. When one receives this gift, the faith of Christ, it can be strengthened by the Word of God, giving us insight into the character and being of God, and it can be strengthened and increased by prayer. The disciples, Lord, increase our faith. Now those that claim that their faith never wavers have built them a little ledge on which they rest, but it is upon only a mental acceptance of facts. You believe Jesus died. I believe that. I didn't have to be a Christian to believe that. History, the Josephus, the Jewish historian that was not a Christian, told about the crucifixion of Jesus. History tells you that. Yes, I believe he died. But that doesn't mean anything to me unless the Spirit of God makes me see he died for me. And he's never going to make me see that till, first of all, he makes me know I'm a sinner. And so those that crawl out on this little plank dangling over hell that say they never doubt, it's just a set of facts that they don't doubt. Ephesians 3:16. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. How am I strengthened? By his Spirit, where am I strengthened? In the inner man. As the old man dies, being crucified with Christ, by the faith of the Son of God, we live. And according to the riches of his glory, God strengthens you by his Spirit. Paul said, I can do all things, Philippians 4:13, through Christ which strengtheneth me. Don't have any ability of myself, but I can do all things through him. As and only if he strengthens me. Now, in our passage in 1 Samuel 27, David's faith is at one of the lowest, if not the lowest, places in life he's ever been. That's the same David that by faith in God's power took a slingshot and one stone and slew the giant. Not because David was strong in himself, but he believed God would deliver the giant. This is the same David that led the army of Israel many times out, and he always came back victorious. What got him in trouble with Saul was the women dancing and singing, David has slain his 10,000s. But it was because of faith. And being dependent upon God. This is the same David that Samuel took oil and anointed him and told him, you will be king over Israel. One time in particular, David was down, discouraged. And Saul's son that was closely united to David, a love as dear as his own soul, he went to David in the woods and he strengthened or encouraged him. And Jonathan said, I know you will be king, and I'll be next under you. Now, Jonathan knew about David, but Jonathan misread or did not perceive correctly that he would be under David, because Jonathan's going to be slain. So he's been anointed king. He has been delivered time and time again from Saul. By the providence of God. Saul's men kept about him, no way of escape. And Saul hears the Philistines have moved in and are warring against one of the towns or cities. That's David that God delivered on many occasions. And David was just a man of great faith. And God made it strong in him. But now he sits in despair. I perish one day. But wait, David. Didn't Samuel say you'd be king? Didn't Jonathan tell you you'd be king? Didn't Samuel anoint you? Now, why all of a sudden, having accomplished so much and so many victories by faith in the Lord and leading Israel victoriously out to battle, Why all of a sudden has that faith waned to such a degree that you've lost sight of the anointing and the word of God to you through his prophet that you would be king? What are the causes? Well, he's been helping the people, the children of Israel. He has delivered them on different occasions from the Philistines and others. And he'd get through and deliver them. And he said, Lord, are they going to betray me? Are they going to tell Saul where I am? And God said, they're going to tell on you. Been betrayed after giving his life to battle for their well-being. Yeah, they're going to betray you. They're going to tell on you. So different ones. I guess to have the king of Israel pat them on the back and maybe promote them to some position or of authority in the army. Different ones were always coming to Saul and saying, David's over there. Saul said, he's hemmed in now. We can put a fence all around the city and draw it to the river. We can catch him. No, Saul, you can't, because David is a man living by faith. But not now. Not in chapter 27:1. I perish one day. Saul's going to get me. Maybe one of the causes, he's been fighting so long with such a small band of men, 600, and Saul would come out after him with thousands. And he has not had any new men join him to fight. One other thing, children, the length of a trial will wear on you. One cloudy day when the sun does not shine is not too bad. But if you have to live a month without the sun shining, every day it's cloudy, it'll begin to wear on you. There's just something about the natural sun shining that helps us. And there's many things about the S-U-N, capital S-U-N, Sun of Righteousness shining, that helps us. And if you go a month without seeing the sun, it's just something that wears you down. Faith diminishes to the point you do not know that if you have saving faith. So the length of the trial David's been in for some time, or the weariness of his journey, fatigue set in, and it had to continually wear him down. No rest. Hide in this cave or on this side of the mountain, and Saul's coming around the mountain. It's just worn him down and has left him in a low condition. And he said, I perish one day by the hand of Saul. The only thing I can do is escape into the land of the Philistines. And David got to looking at circumstances. And circumstances around him were so dark. And the valley he's been in is so low, and he's been in it for such a long time that he's void of hope. Nothing's going to change. Tomorrow's going to be just like today. No sun shining. I'll still be running. I have not yet obtained the promise of God. I'm not going to obtain it. So he goes and hides. He's lost sight of God. The one that had him anointed, the one that made him victorious, and God, with a spiritual perception within David, he knew Saul can't be trusted. Now if you'll go back with me to 1 Samuel 26, and I know sometime in the past that I spoke to you on the last phrase in verse 25. Therefore I will not dwell with it any length. 1 Samuel 26, verse 25. Well, go back to 24. And this is Saul. And behold, as thy life, no, this is David, was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail. You're going to be great. In another place, he told David, I know that you will be king. When David cut off the skirt of Saul, when Saul was so fast asleep, and he went out on the mountainside, and when Saul was awake, then he cried out to him and said, Look, my Lord, why are you hunting me? Am I some dead dog or a flea? What am I to you? I've got 600 men. We've not rebelled against you. Why are you hunting me? Look, I could have taken your life. And Saul said, I know. And in that chapter, chapter 24, it said Saul went home, but David and his men got them up to the hold. Now here, David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. David did not have a place in Israel. He had no place among all the tribes. None of them would help him. That's worn on him. And he knew, though on different occasions Saul had told him, You'll be king. I'm not going to bother you anymore. I've done wrong. Thou art more righteous than me. But he knew, I can't trust that man. So David went on his journey, or as I told you on a previous occasion, David and his men got them back to the hole. Didn't matter what Saul said, he was not trustworthy. So all that, it has brought David to such an incredible low. Now do not walk under a lot of self-condemnation when your faith is not strong as you would like it to be. When victory doesn't seem certain. When the promises of God seem to fail. Listen, the old hymn writer, through many dangers, toils, and snares. That's your journey here. Faith will enable you to overcome them, but faith cannot be called into operation by your little puny will. It's the faith of Christ. It is made active to us by the Spirit of Christ. David's low. I'll just escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul will despair of me. And David's been on the run, and no home life, and the two in this world that understood him more than all others were his two wives. David got 600 men, but some of them are sons of Belial. They're traitors. Not to David, but they're greedy and selfish. They go off, get spoiled, and they say, "You 200 men that couldn't go with us, we're not giving you anything." David said, "You're not going to do that." He had some others that were better men, but they misread the providence of God, and they said on two different occasions, "God has delivered him into thy hand. Smite him." One of them said, when Saul and his men, Abner, were all asleep, Saul's spear by side, and they go down. One of David's men, true to him, said, "Let me smite him. I won't smite him but one time." David said, "No, he's God's anointed. He'll go down into battle and won't come up, or God will take his life." And David was, or the faith of Christ in David was very strong there. But with the 600 men, nobody, none of them understood him like his two wives. And chapter 27 of 1 Samuel, David's condition is all within him. He's lonely. He's not understood. Nothing has changed in the outward in David's life. He's safe. He passes on from Saul. But everything's personal. David said in his heart. Now he is exhausted. "There is but one step between me and death," he said. But all that has taken such a great toll on David physically and mentally that he is low as David has ever been. Now that's the depth that sometimes even true faith can find itself in. Now turn with me to chapter 30, and I'll try to be quick here. Chapter number 30. This is after David has dwelt a year and I think 4 months with the Philistines. Got to put his armor off, his sword down, and had a town. And in that town, a place that he and his wives could live and his men. But God's going to stir his nest, because the Lord won't have him there, cause unrest. And Achish says, "David, you and your men got to depart from us, because some of my captains are afraid of you." Now in 1 Samuel chapter 30, after Achish has run him off, sent him back to Ziklag, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned. It was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And I told you in chapter 27, everything's internal, David said in his heart. Now everything's external. He's lost everything. Verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Now here's the verse. I can relate better to David in 1 Samuel 27 than I can to David in 1 Samuel 30, verse number 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I'm very familiar with faith being down. Tasted a time or two on faith, giving great assurance that this or that would happen. But in chapter 27, nothing outwardly in his life has changed. But here, it's external. Everything in his life has changed. His town or city has been destroyed. His wives have been taken. His men that have followed him for some time now are now talking of killing him, murder. They just needed an outlet to relieve the anguish of their heart. Some place, somebody, somehow. Let me take out this anger on somebody. Not only was all this against him, but he was like Jacob when his two sons were not with him, had been taken, and now he had to give up the youngest, Benjamin, to get food. And Jacob said, all these things are against me. David could have walked in or gotten near that town and smelled the smoke and then seen the city destroyed and knew everything's against me. But faith in its greatest exercise, when there is nothing external to encourage him, everything against him, even his own men. And yet David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, before David could do this, he had to get beyond the guilt he had. He had given up. He had left the battlefield. He had took off his armor. He moved to a place of safety. He left God's chosen nation, and he was guilty of what Saul and his men had done to him. He said, cursed be ye men before the Lord, for you have driven me out from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord. You drove me out. Now David's guilty of having them cursed before the Lord, saying to him, you go serve other gods, no place here for you. Cursed be ye. But David's done it to himself. He took up residence with the enemies of the Lord. He threw away or he lost all Samuel's words and actions. Thou shalt be king. Samuel's anointing. He doubted God, God's promise, God's protection, God's providence that had kept him through all those battles. He doubted all that when he said, I perish. And he had to deal with the guilt that was within for doubting God. He had to deal with the guilt for not being completely honest with Achish. Where'd you war today, David? Oh, to the south of Judah. Now that in itself probably was true. But it gave Achish reason to believe that he had fought against Judah. And David didn't do that. Now, chapter 27, the Lord left him to prove what was in his heart. In chapter 30, the Lord strengthened him within, enabling him to get above guilt, all his wrong deeds, all within, condemning. The Lord strengthened, and faith lifted him above all that he had done. Now there's no guilt. And David encouraged himself. My God is faithful in forgiving his children. My God is long-suffering, though I've been away from the battle for a year and 4 months. I've led my men into the enemy's camp, Lord's enemy's camp. I've led them. But my Lord is long-suffering. My God is full of tender mercies. My God will not turn a deaf ear to a suffering child. And he approached God on the basis of God's character, not on what he had done, not on what he had left undone that should have been done. He got above his men's desire to stone him. And all David's seeing in verse number 6 here is the Lord his God. And David encouraged himself there. Now, children, it is Christ's faith in us, but that faith can only be strong in the Lord as our Lord. This is the same David in chapter 30 as in chapter 27. It's just faith at its highest in chapter 30, and the Lord leaving him faith at its lowest in chapter 27. So please don't tell me you don't doubt. You're walking this even keel. Don't tell me that you wonder, will God deliver? Will God do? Don't tell me that you don't doubt that at times. You do. You're a human being. You've got a nature that is at war with everything within you and at war with God himself. We are enemies even to that which God has done within. You're going to be there. You're going to be down, but you'll be up if you wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And it is only God making faith reach outside self back to the one that gave that faith and the one to whom that faith is within that enables us to get above our sins, our shortcomings, our failures, our past. The devil's always accusing you, always. Well, most of the time. You'll get a brief moment, a reprieve. He'll always be accusing you. But faith enables you to rise above Satan's accusations, Satan's condemnations, your own heart's condemnation. If our heart condemns us, now remember this, children, God is greater than our hearts. And oftentimes we have reason that our heart condemns us, but faith enables us to get above that condemnation. And faith within made him strong in the Lord, and encouraging himself in the Lord, faith had enabled him to get back to the living God and God's character and get above his actions and his person, his failures, his sins. Be ye strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't try to accomplish anything in your own power. Leave it alone and be strong in the Lord. May God help you with that and bring it back and encourage you in days ahead.